This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
No!
Is the Off Day Podcast.
Give me a chest bump. Boom!
With Andy Hart.
All right, good to be with you. All right.
This microphone week. Put up a little less fight than the one last night.
And Ryan Hannibal.
What's your name again?
Hannibal.
Oh,
Mr. Dot Commer
on WEEI.com.
Podcast of 2020. This is technically the preview podcast of the Patriots Jets game on Sunday, but I don't think we'll be doing much previewing of the game.
No, I don't. I did my usual. We talk about this. I do a main radio hit preview and post game. I did the preview hit this morning because of the holiday, and they got to the end of the interview, and they never asked me to predict the game or a score. And I was like, we've done it for like 15 years in a row. Every game, we're gonna stop now. And they're like, go ahead. If you want to pick the game, like,
yeah, there's
that's
not,
where we are. That's yes, where we are.
There's not much intrigue to this game. I guess we should. I don't want to spend the whole podcast on Cam Newton, but it seems like he's starting again. Why?
I would imagine. Isn't that how Bill put it? I would imagine.
Yeah. And then he wasn't asked about it Wednesday on the conference call. But right. I mean, what's it really ask at this point? It's not worth really pissing Bill off over it. And the last time he talked about it, he did say, if we're making a change, I'll let you know.
Right. So, yeah, the one thing I found interesting this week from our purposes is that Cam did not do his weekly hit on our radio station on the morning show. And yep. Didn't do it Tuesday, didn't do it Wednesday. I don't know if you've heard behind the scenes information or whatever, but it's weird that he's done everything in a timely manner. Like, I think he's been really good about that. We've talked about that. And then he doesn't do it this week. Is it just like, you know, my Saturday radio host partner, Nick Cattles, posed the idea, like, you know, Mom always said, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. And what more can Cam say? And certainly Monday night, he vented a little bit. But I just found that a little bit interesting that, you know, all we've said is he's handled all the off-field duties perfectly this year. And then this week he doesn't talk.
Yeah, everything's in play. I don't want to speculate on guys doing radio hits or not, but it's possible.
But he is scheduled to talk today to the media via his usual Zoom.
Yes, 4:00, I believe. So I guess, I mean, that's another indication for if you're going to read between the lines through the Patriots, how they're putting things out there, that he's the starting quarterback, so he's talking to the media. My developing take is on why...
Developing take? I like developing takes.
Yeah, why, like, Bill is sticking with Cam through all this is that he hasn't shut the door on him returning, and he doesn't want to piss him off in a way that would completely, like, eliminate the chance of him returning. Like, I think Bill hasn't closed the door on Cam returning in 2021. And now that's not saying he's a starting quarterback, but could be a mentoring guy for a rookie because, like we talked about, he's on everything right behind the scenes. But I'm just more and more that I think about it and this plays out the way it is, I think that there's a chance that Cam is back next year.
Yeah, I think – I mean, I've thought that all along, and I was sort of actually on board with it for a while until I reached my bottoming out point and said, you can't bring him back. He stinks.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but that's just the way that things look.
But I'd also say, like, I don't like that. I don't like that you're – so you're sort of, like, bowing down to Cam or something? Like, I don't even know what I'd call it, but would you normally – start Stidham? Would you normally want to find out what's like? So there's two reasons. The question we've been asking for weeks now, Stidham, Cam, start, that whole thing. Either either it's a Cam answer, like you're loyal to Cam, or you whatever Cam, or, you know, Greg Bedard thinks that even if he leaves, Bill needs Cam to, like, give him a good letter of recommendation and say he treated me with respect or whatever that time that I was there, because Cam holds up. Or it's a Stidham thing, right? Like, the other side is it's a Stidham not quite ready. Your theory is kind of like, well, normally he might go to Stidham, but he doesn't want to piss off Cam. Or, like, I don't think I love that reasoning or that idea. Like, first of all, I would say, what the hell else is Cam going to do? What, are there going to be teams lining up, beating down his freaking door?
Well, according to Keyshawn Johnson, what do you say, 125% chance GM would be interested or something?
Yeah, ridiculous. The one thing I have talked myself into, though, one possibility place, Baltimore, where they've had RG3. RG3 came on, got hurt. I know they have the great Chase McSorley, but, you know, they clearly want to have an athletic whatever.
Yeah, but, like, Cam hasn't shown that this year.
No, but, well, I mean,
I know what you're saying, but, like, he hasn't proven that he could, like, run the ball. Like, he seems slow in a way.
Well, I said this yesterday. There's no better assessment of Cam than that that executive that said he's an aging running back. He's an aging tailback, power back, or whatever. Like, that's what he is. Like, that's my argument against it, is that the only thing he's done well, I compared him to the old Leroy Horde joke, where Leroy Horde, you know, said, on second and one, I'll get you two. On first and 10, I'll get you two. Like, that's all I'm getting you. That's what Cam is. He's like a
– yeah.
Other than the pure power, like, QB draw, like, there's – because I watch other things. You know, I was watching – again, people get mad when you bring up this name for anything. But I was watching Mahomes run an option play. Like, they have run. Mm-hmm. It looks way better. Like, he – I mean, obviously, as a passer, he's light years ahead of Cam Newton. But – so he runs it. He reads the end. He goes – and then he ran it like a traditional option. He gets about 5 yards downfield, and then he pitches it. And they end up with, like, a 15-yard – like, I haven't seen that from Cam. I haven't seen anything from Cam other than short, power-based runs. And even some of those, we've talked about this, he looks – either indecisive, awkward, old, like he kind of falls down instead of like.
It's not like a power, like, I don't know. We've seen glimpses of it, but not consistently where he like lowers his shoulder and can run a guy over. Like you thought he could do that, but he just can't.
Well, but I think he still can. We saw.
That's what I was going to say. It's inconsistent. He did the other night with Poyer, right?
Yeah. Well, see, but he didn't even really, he kind of just took the hit, but he was the bigger, more powerful man in the hit. He was the hammer.
Yeah.
So you wonder, it's like, well, could he do that more? Could he lower a shoulder, run a linebacker over? Could he run a safety? Like, that's where the – I don't know that he's all in. I do think he's lost something as a runner.
Yes.
And he needs to become even more of a power runner. I don't know if he doesn't want to do that or if they have told him, like, not to. That would go in line with your thing. Like, don't kill yourself because, listen, we want to bring you back next year as a quarterback, and we don't want you rehabbing from a
– well, another thing along those lines, do you think he's hurt? Do you think the shoulder is more of a thing than we've been led on to believe?
Well, no, but those are two different things. Do I think the shoulder's more of an issue? Yes. Do I think he's hurt? No. I think he is what he is at this point. I think this is the post-surgery, long career, physicality. Like, there's a lot of people that, you know, like, you have these dream scenarios. Oh, you get it fixed and you're, like, no pain anymore and you're back to, you know, you were 18 again throwing the ball. Then there's others who surgeries, rotator cuffs, things, they just never
heal to back to where they were, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what he is. I think it's like in just this is who he is. This is the broken down version, the aging version. And that's why, again, would there maybe be two teams interested for him to be their backup?
Or I was going to throw out Washington with the Ron Rivera connection.
Maybe, like, but... That's why I think it's literally like a – and I think those are maybes.
Right.
Maybe Washington, maybe Baltimore. Like, but if there's – say there's – let's just give him the complete benefit of the doubt. There's 32 teams. Let's say there's three or four maybes, five maybes.
Yeah.
Okay, maybes can go either way. So now we cut maybe down to two and a half or three teams, and maybe one of those is the Patriots and one is another. And it's like, do I really have to walk on eggshells? to keep him around kind of thing. And that's what it feels like. Like they're walking on eggshells to got to keep Cam happy, got to respect Cam.
Well, the other thing along those lines too is the contract, because Cam for the first time this year brought it up the other night when he was venting. Like contract is what it is. And then also like these last couple weeks, he has playing time incentives that I think are like, it's a difference between $250,000 more or less. So
I mean,
but at the end of the day, does that really matter to Cam or even Bill? And you know how those work. If a guy's, you know, 2% short, they can just throw it in there because they feel bad for the guy. They do that all the time.
And that might even be more valuable. Like if he just earns it because he plays, okay. But if he doesn't, and then like he's a little bit mopey and Bill says, oh, by the way, we're paying you that money either way. We respect everything. Like I feel like that would almost be more valuable.
Be better, right.
Yeah. Plus, he's Cam Newton. I mean, he's probably made $100+ million on the football field, another $25 million in endorsements over his career. Like $200,000 is the difference now. I also, you bring the contract up. To be fair, he had been asked about the contract a few questions earlier. Somebody said, like, you know, you've talked about a job interview and now with your contract expiring.
Yep.
So I don't know if that was as much him bringing up the contract or just referencing that the contract had already been brought up.
I didn't think about that. It's fair. It has to be in the equation. Sure.
Yeah. Like the seed of the contract was planted in his head at that time. I don't think it was necessarily like
unsolicited. Okay.
Like he's been thinking about it. Damn, I ain't getting paid. This is bullshit. Like whatever. Yeah, like
that's how I took it, but you're right. I should look at it potentially being that way too.
Yeah. I just giving him the benefit of the doubt there, but, it's at this point though, the flip side of that is, so what if Stidham starts? Like,
I know,
like now you get one game, and I know it's better than no games. Like I believe one is better than none, but I also do think like, cause the Stidham angle of this, like the many possibilities and in doing all the radio I've done the last couple of weeks, we've hashed out like all the possibilities, like COVID playing a factor, Bill knowing his roster stinks playing a factor, like Cam, like that maybe they still, as Diana Russini said, love Jarrett Stidham and they don't want to break him, like putting him out there with, you know, no receivers, no
but
tight
then,
end.
But then why put him out there in these blowout games?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I told you, we're just spitballing here.
I got another thing that I was thinking about yesterday, and it's just a theory. It's not even a theory. It's just like something that happened. It's just something that happened that I think we need to look at. Maybe something more should be made of it. The summer. Remember when he missed that practice with the thigh? Went to the hospital. There's varying reports.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. And then after that, he didn't do anything. And then everyone says that he wasn't competing as hard as they thought he should. Like, did something happen over the summer that we're glossing over that we don't know about? Like, I think also us not being in the locker room and having contact with people in the building less this year maybe factors into us not knowing the full story.
Correct. I think we would have a better feel for this situation if we were there every day in the locker room, seeing him interact, like talking to other players more. I think you might get little snippets or hints or whatever. I think 100% that's true. And I still do believe that was weird, because if you remember, I forget the exact days and time, but he went to the hospital reportedly.
Yeah.
And then like a day later, Josh was asked and like, oh yeah, he'll be on the field Sunday. Like,
yeah, he went to the hospital like the night before, but then was at practice the next day, but didn't do much. And then Josh was asked that day about his status. And he said, oh yeah, he'll be on the field on Sunday. The next time
he'll be ready to go Sunday or something.
Yeah.
And like, but again, I'm always hesitant to go down. Like,
it was like a quad injury or a knee injury. Like, there wasn't even an exact like body part.
Right. But remember, this mirrors, and I've said this before, this mirrors that whole Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. He's not competing. He's not tough enough. It's a pain management. He should be out there. He screwed us, and Brissett has to play. Like, okay, so maybe that was true about Garoppolo, but Bill still apparently texted him every win and still kind of lusts after him and likes him. So that's – and then remember also, so if Stidham fell so far behind, then he still made the leap after the Kansas City game from 3-2. Like inactive, not ready, blah, blah, blah.
If they really didn't like his compete level and everything like that, then why elevate him to the backup quarterback's job?
Right. So there's a lot of tea leaves to be read here that you can read in different directions depending on which leaf you think is most important. I still tend to think they believe that he can compete for a job next year. I don't know if that means a starting job. I'm finding it harder and harder to believe, like, year two jump, year three jump. Oh, he'll be ready. Like, I mean, you're either ready or you're either a future NFL starter or not. And
even in these mop-up games, like, yeah, he had that touchdown to Gunner, but he hasn't had that, like, moment. They're like, yeah, this guy maybe have something. It's kind of just like, well, it looks a little bit better than Cam, but doesn't look that great.
Right, and I still think he's not – I still think he's like a backup. I don't – there hasn't been enough indication of any type that he is a future starting quarterback. I mean, literally – one of the only things I can think of is the James White quote when we asked him about Stidham, and he was very praiseful. But James White is pretty praiseful of most people. I think that's right. His fallback kind of thing. I actually did it again the other day because who did I ask him about? I kind of did it J.J. Taylor. And I kind of did it intentionally because I wanted to see that I wanted to know about J.J. Taylor, but how he would handle another young up. And he was very, very praiseful of J.J. Taylor. I think you might just get that on James White from just about everybody.
Yep.
So other than that, we don't have a lot to work with as to why we should believe that Stidham is a starter, what he's doing on the practice field.
Right.
And that's where that lends everybody to say, well, you know, if he were better on the practice field, Bill will play him. Well, okay, maybe that's right. I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know.
All right. Well, there'll be plenty of other podcasts to discuss the Newton, Stidham, whatever angle. Because that's
we're going to have to keep doing this in the offseason?
We probably are. I mean, unless we get a – like, I don't think Bill is going to make some declaration in his Monday press call. In his Monday Zoom season-ending Zoom press conference about the future of the position. So we will
be discussing. No chance. Because if you remember last year, when they lost to the Titans, he wasn't prepared to talk about Tom Brady. He wasn't? Why are you not prepared? So the only way I think we'll get an answer, and this is, but like if on, you know, February 20 something, you know, the Lions and Patriots are deep in trade talks regarding Matthew Stafford. Because he's a guy that would arrive and like he's the starter. Like there's no questions anymore. You trade for Matthew Stafford, he's your starter.
Right.
Other than that, this
could be a competition between whoever you bring in.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Jarrett Stidham, Kyle Trask, and Ryan Fitzpatrick or Cam Newton. Could be those three guys, and we're just doing this whole thing again in July, and hopefully with more access and more of a normal.
I hope so, because like I said earlier, I think that this whole like Cam Stidham thing, like the coverage of it hasn't been as good as it should be because of the access. Like it's just.
Right.
The way that it is.
Right.
The other, Albert Breer, did you read his story in Sports Illustrated yesterday, last night about the Patriots?
Nope.
Oh, well, you should probably read this before you do your radio show.
Well, you should probably tell me before you drop it. I'm like Charlie Casserly. Don't bring up subjects we didn't talk about in the production meeting.
So Breer did a deep dive into the Patriots' struggles this year and had a few interesting nuggets, some quotes from executives, anonymous executives, whatever. But one of his takeaways was that Belichick trusts his college coaching friends over his scouts. And he used the Harry example where Harry supposedly crushed his in-house workout or in-house visit. And then Todd Graham, his former coach at Arizona State, gave a good review. Belichick's a good friend of Graham. And then despite warnings from the scouts in-house, Belichick went ahead and drafted Harry. And everyone knows how that turned out. And then Breer said that's not the first time that's happened. The only time that's happened, he referenced Anthony Jennings this past year. So is there something to that? Like, could you see Bill sort of ignoring or taking his college friends, you know, over his in-house scouts?
Yeah, I would add potentially Chip Kelly to that for Devin Asiasi this year. Now we've also, it's gone the other way. The classic example was Jermaine Cunningham and Carlos Dunlap, where apparently Urban Meyer, Bill, you know, kept telling him he liked Cunningham and Meyer's like, no, Dunlap is better. Dunlap is the guy you should be. And they took Cunningham. He's out of the league, you know, a couple years later and Dunlap's having a long, impressive career with the Bengals going one pick later. So I think it does get back to on a bigger scheme. And I actually thought Bill's answer the other day on our station to, a somewhat pointed question from Gary Tangway about, you know, do you need more help or something in the personnel department? And Bill didn't say no. He said, well, the way it works, that usually comes after the draft more than it comes like, but he didn't say no. Like, I thought it was a really telling answer.
So you read into that that was just his way of dodging the question. That was an admission.
If he had full confidence, I think he would just say, you know, I think we have full confidence in our scouting staff in that department. I think Nick does a great job leading that group, but I would go down through blah, 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 and he would list names and everything. He said, you know, that might be a consideration after the draft. And this goes back years, whether, you know, how he changes the grades when they're in the system late and how he overrules scouts and the board and all of those things, going back to Michael Holley's book, you know, there were quotes about that and different things. And sometimes that's how you end up with these weird second round picks. And
well, that was another thing in the story too. Another executive scout, whatever, mentioned that Jordan Richards pick that he was taken in the second round, and they said their board had him as an undrafted guy.
Right. And those are classic examples. And I think that's gone on for years in good drafts and bad. Now, obviously, there have been more bad drafts than good, I would say, in recent years. And that's an issue as to why they are where they are right now. There has been departures. There's the opportunity for returns in that department, obviously, because there's guys available like Bob Quinn who gets axed and some of that. I mean, it's interesting. It's hard to really, because even those executive things, like, it's all from outside. It's all from afar. And that's where I'm hesitant. But I do think it's safe to say, like you wrote it yesterday about the coaching staff. I do think there are questions about, it's only guys, for the most part, coaching staff, personnel, that just work their way up through the ranks. They're beholden to Bill. They don't know anything other than Bill. And
well, also, they're inexperienced.
And I don't think that's good. Like, it's not – like, sometimes
it's,
I think
it's okay to have a couple guys there, but when your whole defensive staff is like new, that's hard. Right.
And you know, the same thing, like, some, you know, Brian Smith is a guy that was literally Bears Najarian's intern when he was in college, and he's worked his way up to a high level. And I'm not saying he's not good, but he's only been with Bill and Bears and Nick, and like, he knows one thing. And I think sometimes you just need a second perspective or an alternate or, right, you know, that ability to question. And we've talked about this a lot over the years. It started post Pioli, as the early years of Nick. Is there enough people to push back? And did Pioli used to be that guy and he's gone? And
well, Bill even referenced that too the other, I think it was 2 weeks ago on OMF, where he said, like, what was it? You talk about his sons, how they're not afraid to push back, and said he had guys like Bears and Ernie. But like, I think that was an admission that a lot of his coaching staff members don't push back as much as some others do, because they're either they're afraid of to do that, or they don't know any better. They don't know any different.
Even like, even a guy that I think people around here like to mock, but like Matt Patricia, he was the spearhead for, he took their scouting and stuff to a whole new level digitally. Like, he asked questions, you know, he's a rocket scientist or whatever. And like, even in that way, like, why do we still do it this way? Like, why do we, you know, handwrite this report when a guy could do it into a laptop and cut out a phase or something? You know what I mean? Like, even that idea, like, fresh ideas, outsiders, perspectives that I think sometimes do get lost. And those are the things that are going to be more important this offseason and now than ever. Because you're at a fork in the road. Do you become a, you know, just a washing machine that just is turned over on, or do you turn it around? Because I think the opportunity is there for a quick rebuild, quick turnaround. But now you blow these picks, there's no safety net. There's no Tom Brady. Right. There's no – you're going to lose even more and more veterans. Gilmore could be gone. McCourty could be gone. Slater – like, now you're really talking about, wow, if we don't hit and rebuild a core and lay a foundation for the future, we're porked. So I think that's plausible, that there's some questions there. And it'll be interesting to see what they do. You know, everybody focuses on the quarterback, but the coaching staff, Josh McDaniels – Jed Fish already left. I think a lot of people would have said, oh, maybe Jed Fish will be the coordinator if Josh leaves. Well, he's gone too. Now this whole Adam Gase love affair or whatever there.
Do you want to put some hype into that?
See, I think the issue there is, I think it's a Josh thing.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
So if Josh leaves, would Bill take Gase, or is it like a Josh thing? Maybe Josh would bring Gase to be his offensive coordinator or whatever somewhere else.
That's a good point.
And we had, I thought it was interesting, we had Mike Reese on yesterday on our airwaves, and his gut tells him Josh will be back. He doesn't
That's what I think too.
He doesn't think like Jacksonville or San Diego or LA is going to throw a job at him that he'd have to jump at so that Josh will be back. And I think that's actually a good thing. Yes, in a way.
It is.
See, I don't know, because it could be okay, a good,
but then, let's say Josh leaves, like that you're like blowing everything up, and how can, like, Bill would be pulled in so many different directions. Like, he needs to put more emphasis on the scouting staff and the draft and the free agency. Then now he needs to pay more attention to the offense. And then same thing with the defense. Like, that's just too much for a guy to do.
Right, but it's going to be an issue likely at some point. So my only hesitation to say it's a good thing is, say Josh comes back this year, you draft your quarterback. Let's just say it's Mac Jones, whatever.
Sure.
So he starts a year under Josh, then Josh leaves. What happens? Like, is there a dramatic shift in probably.
How do we know that Josh is going to leave?
We don't. I mean, he has definitively said he wants to, right? I mean, if you believe him at his word.
He wants to be head coach again. Absolutely. Yep.
Right. So when that is, where that is, I mean, because the answer to that could be, yeah, he's going to be a head coach here in 2 years because Bill's leaving. Whatever.
Right.
I just think, I mean, I guess if Bill is still here, you're always going to have the same system, or some basic system. And so if Josh leaves, you replenish it. And, you know, there's options that are out there, will be out there, that have ties that might be able to, you know, Billy O'Brien is the most obvious one. He was their offensive coordinator. And I don't
think I wanted to ask about, like, those guys. Like, what do you think Bill O'Brien, if he came back to the Patriots, what role would he, like, take?
Well, I think he would, I mean, probably be assistant head coach and offensive coordinator or something.
But, like what do you, but I'm saying with Josh, it kind of, like,
oh, with Josh. I don't think he would come back with Josh.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, yeah, no. Doesn't make any sense.
He would be if Josh left, if Josh went to Jacksonville or L.A. Okay. or somewhere.
All right.
But I'm not even sure in that scenario he's as like a slam dunk candidate or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I think there's more of a case for Patricia.
Yes, definitely more of a case for Patricia. I would agree with that because he's also worked directly with Belichick.
Oh, all those
Steve.
Guys.
Yeah, but Steve, most importantly, so, like, there's a weird scenario there because it's Bill's son. Like, he's not the defensive coordinator. He's the play caller. So if he weren't Bill's son and then they brought somebody else in now to be the defensive coordinator, he'd probably feel slighted. Like, wait a minute, I called plays for 2 years and, like,
right.
So I might as well leave. You're basically demoting me. You're firing me. But I don't know that he would look at it that way because that's his dad, and he's working with his dad, and he's worked with Matt, the guy they're bringing in above him.
And he might know behind the scenes. Maybe Bill has more of a role in the play calls than maybe we think. Like, maybe Bill's doing more behind the scenes than we think, and we're giving a lot of credit to Steve when it's really Bill.
So my prediction is Matt will come back. Matt will be the assistant head coach defense, and Steve Belichick will be named defensive coordinator. That's my prediction.
But then who's calling the plays? Matt?
Matt Patricia, yeah. But Steve gets he looks good. He got a promotion. He's the coordinator. Matt comes back to oversee everything. He's that guy. And that would open up Bill to do more offensively. Because you know how, like, right now it kind of Bill's the head coach of the defense. Josh.
Well, that's if Josh staying too, you still think he would do more on offense? Like, I think in that scenario, he would do more of, like, Nick's stuff.
Well, yeah, some of that, but I don't think there's that much of that during the season. I think that gets overrated.
I would agree.
Like, during the season, you're basically working out emergency kickers and making sure you know who the linebackers are available in case you have an injury like that. So I think he would go to the offensive side because I think the offensive side has the bit, like, you're talking about potentially your top players at tight end, wide receiver, quarterback, like a whole, like,
yep.
Change of your core.
But even with the coaching staff, just look at the guy, like, Ivan Fears has been around a long time, whatever, but, like, Nick Caley, Mick Lombardi, Cole Popovich, Carmen Brasillo, those guys are young, like, very inexperienced. And so, yes, you do need to have sort of another older guy to keep things, you know, going in the right direction.
You could even say, like, you know, Josh is overseeing the quarterback and Bill is overseeing the rest kind of thing. Whatever. Wow, this really turned into an off-season podcast. You know, there's
a game. What else is there to talk about? You really want to talk about breaking down Sam Darnold and, you know, Jets aren't going to have Frank Gore this week, so how are they going to spend the run?
Frank Gore hasn't really been that good.
I would agree.
Nobody on the Jets is really that good offensively. I mean, Crowder, I guess. Darnold, even Darnold of late, like everybody's like, oh, he's really seemed like he – well, he's been better, but he's not like
– If he was available, do you think Bill would take a run at him?
Probably.
Interesting. I mean,
I do think those guys are interesting. There's so many teams where – if their quarterback becomes available, does he become an option for you? And yep. Like, you know, certainly the Jets, the Giants, the Falcons, you know, there's different, there's the young ones and there's the old ones, right. But there seems like there's almost like a half dozen of those where is that team going to be looking for a quarterback so that their quarterback becomes available? Would you want their sloppy seconds, so to speak, and that kind of thing? But like, do you think Darnold stinks?
I don't think he stinks, but I don't think he's a franchise quarterback.
And that's a discussion I actually got in with Cattles yesterday. Like, Stafford, if you trade for Stafford, you know who the quarterback is.
Yep.
For now and for the foreseeable
future. However long his contract is, yeah, 2-3 years.
And maybe beyond that. Like,
sure.
Like he's a top 10 type quarterback, whatever. Then you get into these obvious bridges. Whether it's Cam, whether it's Fitzpatrick, they're sort of the other end of the spectrum. And then you got like the middle of the pack, like Jimmy Garoppolo, let's just say. Like his age would say he's your guy.
Yeah.
But his injury history would say he might not be your guy.
Right.
Like that's the one thing you can say about Cam is he's been out there every week other than the weird, you know, coronavirus. Oh,
yeah.
Right. So I think that's like – a weird, like, could Jimmy Garoppolo come and they still add a high quarterback? Like a, probably not a first round pick, but like a second, let's say a second round pick at quarterback.
Yes.
Right. And that's
and the same thing with Sam Darnold. I think they would do the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. That's my point. Like, that's where I started. Like, he's definitely in that class where you're like, did they bring him in because they think he's a franchise quarterback? Is he just really competing with, you know, could be Stidham and a draft pick, could be Stidham and a journeyman.
Yeah, I think that's their best case scenario is get guys with high upside and maybe they just flash into your system and show a lot in training camp. I think that they need to go into training camp next year with different options. I don't want to say Matthew Stafford's not the answer, but I think that they should go into training camp having different options to play out.
Because well, like
if you have Stafford, he's your guy.
Yeah, and I would agree. Now, Stafford is your guy. Trying to think, like, Matt Ryan, if you somehow acquired him, he's your guy.
Yeah.
Trying to think of the name. Carson Wentz. I don't know if he's your guy. Like, he's more like Garoppolo.
Maybe the same thing as Garoppolo and those
guys. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not that different than over the last year plus in, you know, Patriots South, Miami, where they had Ryan Fitzpatrick. They brought in Josh Rosen because he became available, right? Then they go get Tua, then Rosen moves up. Like, they've kind of played that different tiers of quarterback game, and we'll see
what – figure out what works. And I think that's right. – I don't know how close, like, Brian Flores and Bill Belichick are still. Like, I don't know. Maybe Bill should talk to him and say, you know, how did you manage this? How did you go about this? I don't know. I think that we should – he should look at what they did in Miami because I think it worked. And it's, you know, right. It's working, clearly.
Well, maybe, though. The only problem is – The franchise QB has been yanked the last few weeks, and you still kind of have a weird quarterback controversy dynamic there. I mean, clearly they think Tua is the future. The question is he the present? Is he ready? But this is interesting because it's just been, we've talked 30 years. Patriots haven't had to deal with this for 30 years. And now suddenly you're in this weird washing machine of quarterback decisions and whatever it may be where you're saying, yeah, Sam Darnold's better than what we got and he might be our guy. And yeah, we would take a chance on the injury riddled Jimmy Garoppolo or whatever. And then just the market, you know, my prediction, you see my predictions coming, right? Zach Wilson is going to be the second quarterback drafted in this draft. He is going second.
I would agree. He's done a lot over the last, whatever, 3 weeks since his bowl game. He's clearly risen the draft boards already. Yep. And Kyle Trask has gone the other direction.
Well, see, and he got porked a little bit, and that could actually help the Patriots.
I was saying that earlier when we were talking about quarterbacks. That, like, his performance last night and all the opt-outs that Florida had probably helped the Patriots.
And you know what the thing I thought of Because I did. I thought of that. Like, everybody's like, you know, oh, you don't want this guy. And I was like, well, that might help you get that guy at a better value.
Because he'll be available. Also, yeah, go ahead.
That game may have been the reason Jarrett Stidham isn't playing. Jarrett Stidham would have been Kyle Trask out there with no weapons to work with, and suddenly he looks like crap, and it's not his fault.
Right?
I mean, they had, like, whatever that graph, you know, they put the graphic up with Pitts and the receiver, and it's like, holy crap, like 25 touchdowns aren't on the field right now. He doesn't have those guys available to him.
Right.
And that was what I thought of. Like, Jarrett Stidham, that's what he could have looked like for the month of December if he goes out there. He has no weapons. They're going to stink. He's going to be throwing picks. Who knows what that does to his psyche. It's certainly going to increase the criticisms from afar. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of quarterback
discussion. Two quick topics before we get out. This could be the last game for a number of Patriots free agents to be. Let's go through them quick and just give me your gut. David Andrews.
Back.
James White.
Gone.
Lawrence Guy.
I also, real quick on James White.
Yep.
Sad to me because I really like James White. He's not as good as he used to be.
Is he not as good as he used to be because of the quarterback?
That's what I said for about the first 12 weeks of the season. When was the last time he made somebody miss? Like, I see him catch those swing passes now, and I feel like he used to have a little bit of that Welker, Edelman, always makes the first guy miss, falls forward. Now I feel like the first, like he catches, you know, let's say third and six, he catches it at the line of scrimmage, and he gets two. Fourth and four, let's punt. Like, I hate criticizing him, but I haven't seen him.
I got a developing take on where he could be playing next year.
Tampa Bay?
Yep.
I would agree with that. I think that's a good call.
Also, not just because of Brady, but it's close to his family in Florida. Like, I'm sure he wants to be closer to his mom.
Yeah. Tampa Bay or Miami. Yeah.
But
but I'm not saying he's done or he's toast. From what I've, and certainly the quarterback and the timing and everything matters. I'm just not sure he hasn't lost a little something.
Fair. Rex Burkhead, same room.
Rex Burkhead back.
I don't think he's gonna be ready to start the year. So I think it's not like, Bill, just tell him back. If you're ready to go, we'll take you whenever you're ready. Like, it won't be a big contract. There's no real risk there. So, yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Lawrence Guy.
That's a tough one.
He could get paid. He could get some decent money.
I'm going to say he goes somewhere because he's a family guy, and he's going to have to look at it and say, wait, you offered how much? You said, what was that number you offered?
Right.
I mean, it's his last contract. He's aging. He's I'm going to say he's gone. He gone.
Not a free agent. Well, I guess, yeah, Jason McCourty. He is a free agent.
Should probably be gone, but I never know the McCourty dynamic thing
right
there because, yeah. I mean, I'm going to say gone.
Joe Tooney.
I got to say gone, right? Like, I've seen this whole, like, a lot of people think they're going to re-sign him now, give him, like, a long-term deal. Why?
I don't think so. And I thought Bill's stuff with Michael and Wenu yesterday was pretty interesting. I could see a scenario they move him back inside to guard and replace Tooney. It makes him expendable.
But then who plays tackle?
Marcus Cannon? I don't know.
I think he gone.
I don't know. You're right. I don't know.
And it's more valuable. It's more likely. Let's just say Andrews comes back. Shaq comes back. On Wenu's your right tackle. Wynn's your left tackle. I feel like you can find a guy, whoever it is, whether he's on the roster or not, or to find to play one of the guard spots easier than one of the tackle spots. So yeah. I think Onwenu is going to be a tackle. It's more valuable.
Well, I was also just thinking, too, when they were discussing it, like if they sit down, like maybe Onwenu says, Bill, I can make a lot more money in this league if I'm a tackle.
Right.
So maybe I want to be a tackle because he's played the position well. It's not like he's filled in nicely. Like, he's been above average for the entire league.
Oh, yeah. No. He's good. He's good.
So, yeah.
And I found it interesting when Bill said, I don't know if he used the word surprise, but he's like, surprised us. And I think surprised him as well.
Wendo said the same thing 3 weeks ago when he was asked about it. So I think this worked out well for everybody involved.
Yeah.
Demir Byrd.
Gone. What are you keeping him around for? He stinks. No offense, Demir.
He's a solid number four guy. I thought maybe he'd come back on the cheap. Like, I don't know.
Isn't that like Jacoby Myers? He's the guy that come back. I like that. Like, the key, if there's a holdover, it's Myers. Edelman, assuming he doesn't retire. got to keep Harry. So,
yeah,
so
Edelman, what's your gut on him?
I think he'll be back.
Do you?
I think the shutting it down, which clearly they've shut him down, is a sign like, why are we going to put you out there and waste a bullet? We want you back next year. You get like, and he's cheap. There's really no reason unless he wants to be gone.
Well, that was my thing. If he's not going to be here, I think it's because he doesn't want to be part of this, you know, rebuild in a way and sort of, I don't know, like go to a team that he's going to be the third option, sort of like a Danny Amendola role a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if he wanted to and they felt like they could get something for him, but my guess is he's back.
Am I missing any other big name free agents?
I
don't think so.
Well, I mean, he's not a free agent, but Gilmore.
Oh, Gilmore.
He gone.
I guess.
Maybe you could pay him?
What?
You want to pay him?
No, I would just say deal with your contract.
But what
about J.C. Jackson?
Just first round RFA tender, pay him, play it out. Malcolm Butler, he's Malcolm Butler 2.0. You play it out, and then you decide.
But in this scenario, with the if you're comparing Butler to Jackson, in this offseason they signed a big name corner.
No, next offseason they signed a big name corner.
No. When Butler was a restricted free agent, they signed Gilmore.
They did?
Yeah. Because all the questions were why you're upset that the – because Gilmore and Butler were on the team together.
Oh. I literally had no recollection of that.
Yeah. That offseason, the big questions were Butler was pissed off that the Patriots paid Gilmore and gave him nothing and basically screwed him by having him play on that last tender.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
I'm almost positive.
Now you're almost positive? I don't like when you're almost positive.
Well, now you're making me worry because I wrote a whole story about this. That's why I think I'm right, because I looked it up.
Oh, okay. If you looked it up, you're fine.
Yeah. Because Gilmore signed in what, 18?
17, didn't he? Five-year deal. He's got one left.
So you're saying they didn't play together? They definitely played together.
I don't know. Look it up. You got a computer?
So do you.
I know, but I'm not good at multitasking.
Well, this is great for a podcast, me looking this up. Second guess.
That's fine. That's what a podcast for. It's not live radio. It's a podcast. You get what you get. If you get upset, don't listen anymore.
No, it'd be a 2017 season, correct?
Yeah. He signed for 17. 17, 18, 19, 20. He's got one left. 5 years, $65 million.
Yeah, 2018 was the first season that Butler left. In 2017, the Patriots had Malcolm Butler and Stephon Gilmore.
Really didn't remember that at all.
So that's why I think like this offseason, like I think that J.C. Jackson is going to be back on the first round tender, but like what happens to the other cornerback position?
I mean I'm steadfast in my belief I would not give Malcolm Stephon Gilmore a big I don't know about Jackson. I'm questioning what he is. We are seeing him as a number one, and I've said all along, if you become a true number one, the whole job changes and it's a lot harder. I would not sign a 31-year-old cornerback to a new multi-year deal. I wouldn't. Yeah, if I can get Gilmore back at $7 million for 1 year, yeah, bring him back. But all signs seem to point to he doesn't want any part of that, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I don't want him back on a new deal.
Last thing before we go. We have a lot of crossover listeners, I think, between the PU podcast and our own podcast.
Yes.
You see, what the hell were they doing yesterday with Giardi on a cologne thing? Did you see this?
I did. I didn't listen. I saw the graphic that came out of it, and I enjoyed it. It made me chuckle a little bit.
But, like, this is what happens when the Patriots are out of the playoffs. We're talking about Mike Giardi and a cologne thing?
Well, you know, you got to fill, you know, a couple hours every day during a holiday week, and you do what you got to do, and you have a little fun with it. And, yes, Mike Giardi.
Oh, he's not going to like that.
Yeah. No, he won't like that. Hey, he smells good. I can understand why they're going down that road. He's a man I've always said, when you get into one of those scrums in the locker room.
You want to be next to him.
Yes, because there's a lot of guys you do not want to be next to. I'm probably one of those guys you don't want to be next to.
Yeah, more people than you want to be not next to than next to, yes.
So, yeah, I did see that graphic making the rounds on Twitter, and hey, they had a little fun.
Good for them. Something tells me that wouldn't happen if you were still around.
Of course it would. Why wouldn't it?
I don't know. I think that, like, you wouldn't have let that get off the rails. Like, you would have swung it back.
I never know. We used to joke about that a lot, because sometimes I would be the one getting way off the rails, and then other times I'd be like, are we going to talk some football here, or are we just going to screw around and talk perfume? Are we talking perfume, or are we talking football? I like to talk about the fullback position.
I do feel bad that none of us listened to the actual segments. I don't know how it came up or anything. Now we're like criticizing them. I don't
Whatever.
Know.
They're having fun. It's the week between Christmas. Like, it used to be Jets week was a special week, like rivalry week, whatever. The reality is it stinks. It's two teams that aren't very good. In fact, you may not be the better team in the matchup, the momentum. The Jets have won a couple games, whatever. So if they get off the rails a little bit for a little, you know, making fun of or acknowledging Mike Giardi's odor, whatever, I'm okay with it.
All right.
Are we picking the game?
What?
We picking the game?
Oh, I guess we probably should continue. We can't do it for all 15 games and just stop at the 16th. I'm going to go with
Homer.
Jets 21, Patriots 20.
Whoa, Jets win. I'll be the homer. I'm sorry. I don't see Bill Belichick letting the Jets come in the season finale to send his team into the offseason with another loss. I think the Patriots find a way to win like 24-16 or something in that range. Imagine if they lose by 1 point to the Jets to go 6-10. The Jets have a 3-game winning streak. You have a 3-game losing streak, right?
Four.
I don't know. I didn't know Malcolm Butler played
to the four. Rams, Dolphins, Bills, Jets. It'd be four.
Oh yeah, 4-game losing streak to end the postseason. I mean, to end the regular season. So. Yep. That'd be a tough way. Bill have to issue, you know, the thing he said the other day with the OMF, like, you know, looking forward to next year and competing better, coaching better, like that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. It was a little like Cam Newton. It was a little like, I accept the challenge. I want the job. It was like he was kind of pumping his own tires for next year.
I took it as an apology.
Yes. Yeah. But that's my point. Like, he's kind of acknowledging, I wasn't good enough. We weren't good enough this year. I want to be back. I will be better. Like, I promise. Like, he's like a first-term senator who's like, you know, it didn't go great, but I would like to have your vote again because I think I can be better next term kind of thing. Yep. Also, probably a little bit of, no, I'm not retiring. Don't ask me if I'm retiring. Don't ask me if my focus is.
Yeah, that's always my, like, thing this time of year, because it's always kind of like assumed that he's back, but it's not 100% because no one knows his contract. So it's kind of like a weird thing. Like, you ask him, you just assume, like.
Right. He's 68 years old. You're coming off a terrible season. You have a terrible roster in part because of your drafts and free agency and all that in recent years. It's fair to ask. Just double checking, Bill. Are you coming back and do they want you back and all that? Like, how's that
Usually
work?
Usually that's a Mike Reese thing in the first, like, opening of his postseason press conference, like Monday morning, whenever that is.
And if Bill has a sense of humor, how about this, Mike? I'll let you know if we're making any changes with my career.
Yes.
And I would laugh at that. I think that would actually be funny.
All right. Well, we'll have a podcast after the game, I guess, right?
Yes, it's a game. Like, everybody, there's only 16 NFL games. This is a game. We make our living covering the Patriots and their games. And everybody is like, well, do we still have to go to this game? Do we still have to talk about this game? Do we have to pick
I will say, there weren't as many media members in the press box last Monday night. A lot of people covered it from home.
They shouldn't be there. It's a waste of time. It adversely affects your ability to cover the game. It stinks, right? I told you that in week one. Like, this is awful.
Yes, you see a little some things that you don't see on TV, but especially for a Monday night game, it's not really – the gain's very minimal.
Right. And so are you predicting that there even for a 1 o'clock game, will there be less?
No, because I think the 1 o'clock game is different than the night game. I think people will be there.
Okay. I won't be.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you Sunday night with our last post-game edition of the season.
Sounds good. Peace out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.